Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Let God Podcast. It's me, Mary Hannah.
Me, Aifa.
And me, Wanipa.
Woo-hoo! It's literally been an eternity since we've done that, it feels like. But we are so happy to be back, y'all, to finish off season 4. We hope y'all have been blessed and had a wonderful Easter. Today, we're going to be doing an Ask LGP because we've got an influx of comments and questions to our Google Drive, so we're super grateful for that. So we're going to be talking about a lot of interesting topics that we hope will be, interesting for y'all and useful. But of course, before we get started, we're going to have a word of prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, firstly, we just want to thank you so much for this time and this space that you've allowed us to be here together, and not just us three who are physically on this Zoom together, Lord, but all of the wonderful people who are listening. Lord, I pray that any conversation we have will just be so edifying, and that will just be a blessing to everybody who receives it. Lord, as we discuss your word and discuss who you are, Lord, I pray that you'll just open the hearts of all those who are listening, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to just see you for who you are, and to just cut through all the noise and all perceptions and every fear that tries to mask the true image of who you are, Lord, a God who invites us into true communion with you. Lord, I pray that you'll just allow this time to be full of joy and just full of goodness and just full of you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you for that wonderful prayer. So y'all, as we haven't been here in 8 weeks, I don't even know, I can't do maths. We haven't been here in a minute. We're going to do a little recap. Girls, what have you been up to? Fun stuff, funny stuff, recent stuff. Have you been?
I've been okay. I've been kind of oppressed. For those of you who don't know, I'm training to become a lawyer right now. So I'm doing kind of post-grad studies type things. And I had exams until literally last week, and they were on my neck of necks. But we thank God I got through them. My results will be out in a few weeks or something. We just thank God, because at one point it didn't seem possible, but I made it to the other side. Yes. So yeah, that was basically my few weeks. I was at home in York, which was really nice because I love being around my parents. So,
That's lovely.
Yeah.
I've been here in Cambridge. We've had placement. And the last 5 weeks I've been in surgery. That's been really fun and interesting. Mm. I had 1 week back at home for Easter because that's how much they decided to give us. But yeah, I love going home and stuff. So I've just been chilling.
What kind of surgery have you been doing?
I haven't been doing anything. I've just been watching. Lots of them are laparoscopic.
We don't know what that is.
No, literally.
So it's with cameras. So A lot of general surgery, so they inflate the stomach, put lots of air in it, and then put cameras, and then do all the stuff inside it.
Wow,
that's so displeasing. Here was me thinking that you could fast track my BBL on the NHS, but I guess not.
I watched a total knee replacement last week, and that was super interesting.
No way.
Mm-hmm. It's just weird, because I was part of the anesthetics team, so we spoke to him before he went under. While he was going under, and then they did the surgery, and then we woke him up, and Aww. He was calm, yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
It was nice. He woke up with a new knee. It was
really nice. Ugh, that's kind of disgusting, but kind of cool though. I'm equal parts disgusted and amazed.
Because to him, it's a blink.
Oh yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, my dad was telling me that, when you go on anesthetic, it literally feels you close your eyes for 10 seconds and then you're just back again. And it's
insane.
I was under for hours. Yeah. It's so crazy. I kind of want to try it.
Girl.
In a taking drugs type of way, but I want to know how it feels.
How about you, MH?
Girl, I've been okay. I went back home for Easter, home meeting Atlanta, so that was lovely. Yeah, just been chilling, final year, got stuff to do, exams kind of be here, but I don't really be focusing on it too much these days. We give glory to God. No, it's fine. It's been nice. Obviously seeing you girls after a while was lovely.
Yeah.
And just have good stuff planned and trips away and things like that. So I'm excited. I think it'll be really fun. But yeah, it was just chill, quiet, soul family. I gained a new obsession. There's this place in near where I live, but it's a franchise called Crumble Cookie. If anybody who lives in the USA, in the USA, you need to locate. You need to locate a Crumble Cookie. Get the app. Get anything.
No, it's an app.
No, there's literally an app, and I go on there periodically to look at the weekly flavors. Excuse me. And I'm sad. Anyway, Crumble Cookie is incredibly overpriced. Well, not even overpriced. It's just a bit like, it's literally one cookie for like $4. Depending on what state you are, it might be a bit more because of tax. Anyway, I'm rambling. It was my new obsession. So even though like I had no appetite and my stomach was hurting me, I'd go out to get Crumble Cookie. And I'd finish it every time. And it was delicious.
We thank God. We thank God that something entered your belly, even if it was Crumble Cookie. We have to take our small W's.
Yeah, that was
MH,
me.
You just mentioned that you had seen us after a long time. And I just have to rant to the people real quick about our experience yesterday. Because tell me how I went online. I made a booking, a reservation at an establishment for me and five of my nearest, dearest friends to go and eat a meal. Tell me how we were sat in that place for maybe 1 hour. They were telling me, oh, the kitchen is busy. The kitchen is busy. One waitress comes and tells me the kitchen will be open in 15 minutes. 15, 30 minutes passes. Another one says the kitchen will be open in 5 minutes. May Hannah goes and speaks to a gentleman who tells her the kitchen will not be opening in the foreseeable future. Is this not an eatery? But we are not eating in this place.
Guys, you know the funniest thing is that the place was really full. Like, there were many people who were clearly there waiting for food, and we all just have our little drinks, and we're thinking, surely not. Like, this is surely not what this would be.
It's the way we were walking out, and I was just like, everybody in that place is famished. Just eat that. Everybody in the whole venue went out for lunch, and lunch they did not receive. I will be going back though.
Will you?
This is why I'm not naming the name of the establishment, because I did hear from people that it bangs.
I'm in two minds. I mean, support black owned businesses, you know.
Now don't give it away now.
Oh, sorry. There are many black owned shops in London. Eateries. Anyway, gosh. Swiftly moving on, ciao. Today's topics. Where do you girls want to start? Which topic do you want to start addressing?
I think maybe we talk about fear. That was kind of the poster topic, you know what I'm saying?
So this person said, I sort of committed to following Jesus a year or two ago, and I feel like I was scared into it by a youth pastor from London that came to our church. In parentheses, they've put, thanks a lot, guys, lol. I think I'm a little bit better now, but I don't think my heart is completely in the right place. How do you follow God without fear of the consequences of not doing so?
You start, MH.
I read the question, y'all. They always do this to me.
No.
Every time.
MH good at the starting points thing. She opens dialogue.
I hate you. Okay, the first thing I think that is super important to remember, and even if you're not struggling with like fear in terms of following God, is that recognizing that the primary reason that you were created was to be a recipient of God's love. I think I've mentioned this probably in the first half of this season, but like divine love or benevolence in any way that we understand it really cannot exist if it doesn't have a recipient. If your love is self-contained, is it love? What is it? You know what I mean? So I think any message that teaches you or tries to, or yeah, leaves you with the feeling of God, you know, kind of forcing you into this relationship with him, or like forcing you into this religion because you want to avoid hell, just isn't God's heart. And I think that again harkens back to the point of remembering who, or learning, since you said you're new to the faith, learning about who God is. I always say this, or I always think this, like, but we have to, it's so important to remember the intentionality behind God's character. Even when Jesus was on earth, like the first person to enter paradise to our knowledge was a thief who was being crucified. Like, crucifixion was essentially the equivalent of capital punishment here. So like, it was the worst It was the worst way to die for the worst criminals who did the worst crimes, you know. And so if God's grace and love can extend to somebody who didn't even know Jesus like that, too tough, probably. The person only said, like, yo, remember me. And he was like, yeah, bet. Do you know what I mean? Like,
he was like, bet. That's what I've been praying every day. Hi, Jesus, remember me.
and they went to heaven. And yeah, for I think the last thing I'll say on that is that faith or your relationship with God, Christianity, the way I see it is, yes, it is about heaven and it is about eternity, but it's also about life right here and right now, because God cares about you right here and you're right now. So it's not even sustainable for you, dear, to think about or to allow other people's fears to become your own, or to allow people to fearmonger you into the faith, because like that's not what God was there for. If it was just about heaven and hell, why didn't we just all suddenly, you know, disappear to our respective eternal destination
right?
If upon hearing the word of God or hearing the gospel for the first time and deciding whether or not we wanted to accept it, you know.
I think some churches, and I guess it goes both ways, some churches you need to be careful about, I guess, emotionally charged atmospheres and like being cognizant of that, because the atmosphere is so like emotionally charged that like people just make decisions based on that emotion, whether it's the emotion of fear or just like excitement and being in that atmosphere. But then when all is said and done, it all comes down to the decision. Walking in Christ and walking as a Christian, I said it's a walk, so it's like a daily thing. It's a continuous thing, so you don't really stop doing it, and it just takes that effort on the daily choosing to accept Christ and to know him. I think the main point is to be able to dedicate your life to being a Christian. If that's what you wish, you need to know Christ. And descriptions of Christ and God in the Bible are that of a friend, of a father, of a confidant, of someone you can put your trust in. And if you feel like that your relationship right now is based on the fear of hell, I think you need to really take time to reevaluate what your main decision was made on. And whether that's just like taking time out to really like reflecting and getting to know Christ and the person of him and what you've really like signed yourself up to. Like you can take as long as you want, like God will always call you to himself.
That's so good.
But I think if you come to the faith from a place of fear, you'll always be, I guess, you feel like you're walking a tightrope, that you make one decision and you're off.
And
that also brings guilt into the relationship. And God doesn't want you to feel guilt all the time.
That was really good.
That was so good. And while you were speaking there, I am fair, I just thought about, you know, how there's that common phrase, like, the road to destruction is paved with good intentions. And I think that sometimes that's, like, perfectly summarizes how maybe some people go about their evangelism, and it's kind of like maybe it's in their hearts, they genuinely have a desire to see people saved, and then they have that intention, like, oh, let me tell this person urgently about who God is and how important it is to live life with him. And in their urgency, that delivery can come across as do this or die. And I don't think that that's how God operates. Like, throughout the Bible, we see a God who, like, gently calls people and gives them numerous chances. Like, not necessarily even just numerous chances to be saved, but numerous chances to, like, commune with him and find out more about who he is. And I think that that's all God wants from each of us. And that decision is one that we can make freely. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, while I was thinking about this, I was really drawn to 1 John chapter 4. Verses 8 and 18. Verse 8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And then in verse 19 it says, we love because he first loved us. And so, like, if we understand that God is love and kind of interchange the words God for love, like, we understand that where God resides, like, fear isn't welcome there. You know, like, fear is not an emotion that God wants us to feel towards him, because, like Aunt Faye said, he's a friend, he's a confidant. And even just the fact that the first time fear was even experienced in the Bible was right after the enemy had shown himself tells you, like, that's not what God ever intended to be in place in our relationship with him.
Yeah.
And also the fact that God tells us so many times throughout the Bible, you know, do not be afraid, shows that, like, God is even acutely aware of the power that fear can have over us, and he doesn't want that to characterize any sort of emotion that we even associate with him or approach him with. And so, yeah, like the girls have said, like, I think just taking that time, not even feeling the pressure to come to that full understanding instantly, because I know it's very daunting, but just to take God for who his word says he is and enter that relationship he's inviting you to.
I think that was great. I think that was so encouraging. I was really encouraged by that.
I actually just wanted to say that the point from James, but I don't know how to, like, add it in because I was speaking for ages just then.
It wasn't that long.
You can just say it, girl.
Yeah, what I wanted to say is I've been doing a really interesting study as well about the book of James. And in James chapter 2, like, I guess that chapter is most famous for talking about kind of the dynamic between faith and works. But one thing we discovered in my Sabbath school group that's really interesting is verse 19. And it says, "You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." And we contrast that with verse 21, which says, "Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed in God, and it was certified to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." And, like, what we realized is kind of like, both the demons and Abraham began in that same place of faith or belief. Like, the word is the same in Greek. It's like pistis. And it's like,
give us Greek scholar purr.
Yes, you know, I'm a theologian. So it's like, you can have that same starting point of faith and believing in God and knowing that God is real, heaven is real, whatever. And there's something that happens in between, and you can either end up shuddering like the demons, you can end up with fear, or you can end up like Abraham did with friendship. And I think the important thing is understanding what happens in the middle to bridge that gap, and making sure that whatever happens in that process is ultimately leading you into that friendship. And because the word, like, it says that Abraham's faith was completed by what he did. And also, like, another little bit of scholaring, I learned that the word used for completed is like teleo, and like teleological, if you guys did like GCSE RS like I did, teleological means kind of understanding the existence of something by understanding its purpose or the function that it serves. So, like, a teleological argument about the existence of the world is kind of understanding the world through its function. And so in the same way, it's kind of like saying Abraham's faith wasn't completed until that thing happened in the middle to turn his faith into friendship. And I think that thing is kind of this, not just this acceptance that God is real, because anyone can say that, but this acceptance that God is who he says he is. And I think that requires a surrender of self. I think it requires a surrender of outside voices and perceptions, because what happens in that gap is really the formation of that relationship between you and God that only you guys can do. And so I think people can tell you anything they want to about who God is, but ultimately our faith is a personal relationship, and you have to enter that yourself. And I pray that you do, because trust me, like, what happens in that gap and brings you to friendship is wonderful, and it's nothing like the scary or foreboding God that you might have heard of before, because I thought he was like that too, but he's everything the opposite.
Oh, that was wonderful. Honestly, thank you, girls. We hope that has encouraged the person who asked this. Does anyone want to ask the next one?
Shall I read?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the next question is how to get into being in the Word regularly. I remember on Twitter a while back, some Christians said you can't just study Bible plans back to back. So for people who are still growing, / don't have the attention span to read multiple chapters? Do we just close our eyes, open the Bible, and pick a random scripture then? Crying face.
Oh no, child.
Girl, baby girl.
If I even start with what I want to start with, everyone will say I'm mad.
But... No, but this is your space to be mad. Is this not your platform?
Because the prompt started with somebody said on Twitter, immediately no.
Immediately no.
That in itself, honey, let me tell you one thing. People going to talk and talk and talk. Don't even listen. Especially on somewhere like Twitter. You know, Twitter thrives because it's a platform where it has the most polarizing voices. Right. In terms of like only the people who have extreme views. Well, mostly, I should say, people with extreme views in any parameter or in any sphere of life. Those are the people who thrive on Twitter. And I don't mean to say that if you're on Twitter and you're doing great things, you're an extremist. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to say that Twitter, in any case, as a platform, is probably not the place you want to take any spiritual advice seriously. Facts. Or allow it to be foundational in your life. But that's my starting point, child.
I would also just direct you to listen to our episode on Christian Twitter, because I feel like I got most of my angst out in that episode. But one thing that a really good friend of mine said to me recently was that if it's guilt, it's not God. And I think the same thing plays into this. Like, people can make you feel any which way about the way in which you're worshiping God. Like, there is nothing wrong with seeking God through Bible plans, especially if you're trying to build your understanding. And I think, like, God inspired the people who wrote them. Like, what's the difference between reading a Bible plan and hearing someone's thoughts on the scripture at church from a sermon? I think if it works for you and the Spirit is allowing you to grow, like, don't feel guilty about the ways you're approaching him or feel like you're doing Christianity wrong, because our faith is not prescriptive. There's no set formula to get to know God, because it's an intimate, personal relationship. And what works for you is Bible plans, then that's what works for you, girl. Like, don't let anybody... People love to say nonsense.
Literally.
Don't mind them. Like, everyone studies differently.
And the different types of Bible plans, like, some Bible plans are, like, based on sermons, some are based on, like, emotions, some are based on, like, fundamental things, some are just, like, chapters.
Yeah,
and, like, connecting basic principles. So I don't know which type of Bible plan they were referring to, but it could never be a negative. And I feel like even doing Bible plans will keep you, like, some sort of, like, some way accountable, because you have, like, something to tick off each day. And if that helps you, that can be, that, like, whatever keeps you in the Word. Because the initial question is how to be in the Word regularly. And if that keeps you regular, then that's of benefit. But I'm laughing at the bit, like, she said that, did you just, like, open a random bit of the Bible and then read it? Because I used to be so confused when I was younger, like, how people, like, pick what part of the Bible to be reading. But what I've learned since, like, using Bible plans and just, like, choosing, like, a book to read, like, God can speak multiple ways.
Yeah, for sure.
And he can speak speak through the same thing, like, 1,000 times.
Yeah.
So when I was at home, or when I'm at home, we go through the Bible as a family. And I don't even know how many times we've gone through that whole Bible. but we'll be reading, like, somewhat. I've probably read that book, like, 10 times in my whole life. But you still have new revelations and new things. So even if you're just reading the same book over and over again, same Bible plan over and over again, like, God still reveals things to you.
Yeah.
So I don't think you should limit any form.
Facts. His word never returns void.
100%. I love that verse. And I just wanted to echo what you said, because I have it written down here. Like, the word of God carries legacy. Like, I think that's one of the most beautiful things about Christianity, as in terms of, like, it being a relational religion, because scriptures, like, the oldest Bible's, like, what, X amount, how many thousand BC? And it's like, that's an old text that today people can still get new revelation from every week. Right. Like, so it's really not about the Bible plan that you follow, it's about being in the Word. And I love this verse in Isaiah 45:19. My mom was the one who actually like reminded me of it when I was home. And it says, this is the Lord speaking. I publicly proclaim bold promises. I do not whisper obscurities in some dark corner. I would not have told the people of Israel to seek me if I could not be found. And I absolutely adore that verse because it's just like, I think sometimes, at least in my life recently, I've had the idea that like, maybe God's like hiding his heart. Like he really wants us to like grovel to find who he is. But I think this verse illuminates so like, no, God wants to be found. Like he wants to be in relationship with us, and he wants us to be able to get into the Word and see him and hear his voice. And so, yeah, it's like, as the girls have already said, like Bible plans are fine. And the most important thing is like being able to be in the Word and having a heart that can receive what God is saying, whatever it looks like. If it looks like a Bible plan that's literally three verses and a good introductory, you know, message at the for a season, then do that. If it's a Bible 1 year plan, then do that. If it's just looking at one book for X amount of time, then do that. It's first off, you've got your whole life to get through scripture. The Bible's not running away, dear. Right. Like the YouVersion is here. Even when persecution comes, you know, like it'll like the Bible will still be here, you know? That's... So it's just being in the Word is the most important thing, and allowing that to really sink in your heart is the most important thing.
That was so beautiful, MH. And I'm feel everything you guys have said. I'm just like, no, prayer. I got wise friends. Like, come on. But yeah, one thing I just wanted to say is like, as you were speaking and you were saying, you know, even if it's just three verses and an introduction, and I think just from what that she described that tweet like, it's almost like that person kind of, I mean, I know this wasn't necessarily their intention, but like minimizes the Word of God. Like, do you understand like what that means every time you open your Bible? Like, that's one of God's purest ways of speaking to you.
Yeah,
and it's
for
like
sure.
whether you see 15 words from him, like surely that's better than seeing nothing at all. And whether that's somebody has organized them for you to suit the emotion that you're feeling now, or whether you just did open your book on a random day, all that matters is that you heard them 15 words, and like God is God enough to make those 15 words exactly the portion that you needed for the day.
No, honestly.
You know?
Can I just even jump on that? Last week I was like, oh, I'm a bit bored of the Bible reading, actually. I need to do something different. So I just got...
Okay, Adele.
I got on YouTube and I was like, well, I haven't watched a sermon from one of my favorite like online churches before. And they were actually, this one wasn't a sermon. It was even like a bit like a conversation because their pastor just... released a book, and I was just like, okay, Holy Spirit, just help me don't find the right thing, because I got my like the go-to people. I watch everything that they put out, but this was different, and it was so crazy because I was just like, okay, this is a bit of a rogue topic. It was about balance, and I was like, okay. And when I kid you not, y'all, and I watched this whole thing, really great message, all right, good, great conversation, but like maybe two-thirds in, one of the speakers says word for word the exact prayer I had been praying. Like, literally word for word verbatim. And I was like, well, would you look at that? Wow. And then I was just like, this was something so random that I chose to do on, like, a Wednesday morning because I wanted to break off of the Bible plan that I was reading. And it's like, and God still met me there and, like, taught me a huge lesson out of that. So it's like, if you have the heart to receive what God is saying to you, dear, it will
it's
reach you.
He won't do.
No, facts. Really.
Mm-hmm. Facts. Amen. I love that. I love that. What was the last question?
Prophetic words and TikTok.
I'm going to read this one, honey. Where it is. Okay, guys. So this is the final question that we're addressing today. And it says, prophetic words. On my TikTok, I have so many prophetic words coming in. It's interesting to get a word from other people, but it gets scary when you start getting confused. I would say I'm a toddler Christian, still learning and enjoying my journey, but I'm unable to go on TikTok without seeing a quote, message from God, end quote. I pray and try and test the Spirit, but I have no clue. One word that is recurring is kingdom. I think they mean like the words they keep seeing recurring are kingdom, marriage, and prodigal, which resonate in my situation.
I'm going to start off. Something Mary Hannah always says is God is not a God of confusion.
Oh, period.
So if this TikTok, which is a very interesting platform, by the way. If this is causing you confusion within your Christian faith, I feel like it's not needed. And a little not interested should help you rejig your
algorithm.
But more seriously, like she describes herself as like a toddler Christian. Mm. Like the Bible talks about like the Christians like feeding on milk and then like growing until like to be chewing on bone. I feel like prophetic words are quite far along in terms of like even being able to comprehend and understand it.
For sure.
So I feel like just as like a basic point, if it's like something that you're confused about, then I wouldn't engage with it. But I feel like because she asked the questions that she's probably been engaging with it and feels a bit confused. But I'll just start off with saying that it's quite hard because TikTok is like a broadcasting thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's very easy, especially with like the release of sermons and like being able to share messages like before in the olden days, which wasn't that long ago. People used to speak directly to their congregations.
Wow.
And wow. God will give them word for the congregations, which is a bigger topic when people are like, this pastor's saying blah blah blah. Maybe that word is for his specific congregation. Like, you don't need to
get into it, child.
You better get into it.
And I think just because someone says something doesn't mean you need to grab onto it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And just asking God generally to, I guess, reveal his word. But that's my starting point, but the girls will talk a little bit more.
Yeah. What I was going to add to that is I hate to sound like a cynic. I really do. And like, you know what, God forgive me, because this is also me in many ways casting judgment. I'm trying to be better, chair. But I do think, especially when it comes to things like TikTok and being a quote influencer, I think just kind of try to be weary and discerning of ulterior motives that people might have in broadcasting the type of messages or content that is going to grip people, especially if you only have like 15 seconds to share and yeah. It's just like a really quick like a punchy broadcast. And I think especially because the words that the girl mentioned in the question about kingdom and like marriage, and I can't see the other one, I can't remember what the last one was, but just like those are words that are kind of in some ways generic enough that they could be on TikTok and apply to like somebody's 5,000 followers plus a lot of people on their For You page and seem genuine. And not to say that that person is disingenuous or that they're intentionally trying to mislead people. I'm just saying like it might not be for you even though it's on your For You page. You know what I'm saying? And I think just be conscious that like I really do think that like our increased need for like instant gratification and like short attention spans and just like the fact that our lives are so like internet based just creates just so many challenges and just so many more opportunities to for stress, basically.
No, for stress. I agree with everything the girls have said. I think, to be very honest, I think Christianity is incredibly sensationalized in the West, which is we've spoken about it a little bit. Was it this season or end of season 3?
Yes.
Yeah. End of season 3. I think it's the episode called "Why Is There a Rolls Royce on This Stage," and it's really just about, I think, praying for discernment is really important, but also recognizing like specifically the things that you said. Like, there's some things that are just, without trying to sound like, again, without trying to judge other people's platforms, there are some things that are just always going to be more popular.
Right.
If you go on YouTube now and probably scroll to like Christian messages for you or God's got a prophetic word for you, I would put money on the fact that at least 7 out of 10 of these messages will be about marriage, because right. That's a ginormous concern for many people who are of the faith, or that's a large desire. And so it's not saying that people aren't I'm not trying to say that people on TikTok or any other platform aren't genuinely receiving these messages, just be aware of, like, the fact that false prophets are a real thing, right?
Right.
And just keep that in mind. There's a passage in Ezekiel 13, actually, that I just read before this. Let me just pull it up. And it just really made me laugh. I mean, it's not funny, really.
Does it begin with beware false prophets? Yeah. Soon as you said it was Papa Ezekiel, I said, oh no, honey.
It's right at the end. It's literally the penultimate verse in Ezekiel 13. And this is what God was saying to Prophet Ezekiel. So I think this is really just illuminates God's heart so well. You have discouraged the righteous with your lies, but I didn't want them to be sad. And you have encouraged the wicked by promising them life, even though they continue in their sins. Because of all of this, you will no longer talk of seeing visions that you never saw, nor will you make predictions. And this is the part that I think is the most important. Like, all of that is, you know, important. It's like, stop playing with God's name. But this is the part that I think is so salient. And it says, for I will rescue my people from your grasp. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And I say all of that to say is, like, whatever you see on TikTok, on these platforms, even granted, whatever we say here, apply wisdom and ask for wisdom and discernment for the Holy Spirit. But also, as we've said, like, the entirety of this episode, rest assured that if God has a message to get to you, he will literally get it to you if you have the heart to receive it. Like, there's no if, and, or buts. It's not TikTok.
Right.
People were surviving without TikTok and were receiving prophecies and were thriving in their relationship with the Lord without TikTok. And you will continue
before
to thrive.
TikTok was in the sphere of consideration.
Literally. Mm-hmm. So you will continue to survive. And scripture is replete with examples of people, like, literally actively running away from God and God being like, gotcha. You can't hide. You know, so if people were actively running away and God still met them, how much more somebody who actually wants to hear God's voice but just don't want to be confused? Like, come on now. He's got you for real.
What Mary Hannah just said reminded me of the Berean Christians that Paul talks about in Acts 17. And even, like, when he would preach his sermons, they would still go back and check, like, that he was being truthful and, like, what he said was based on the words and the foundations. I think we, like, all types of Christians need to really, I guess, use that practice to be able to check every spirit and go back, because people just be saying things anything. And because it sounds almost right or because they're using the buzzwords that we hear, combination of them, we'll just believe that it's true, like, that sounds like it was in the Bible, but then when you read it, it's like, oh, they missed out a word that completely changed the meaning. I think it is something that we need to do as, like, a generation of young Christians to go back and really study the word.
And just to, like, really quickly bounce off that was such a good point, but, like, even the fact that in this question, is this the one she described herself as, like, a toddler, like a spiritual toddler? And it's kind of like, don't think that because you're somewhat, like, new to the faith that you don't have it in you to check the validity of a word that you receive. Like,
100%.
God will meet you where you are, and it's not because somebody has this number of followers or they've been Christian for so long that, like, whatever they say to you is for you and that they have more kind of spiritual authority than you do. Like, God will reveal to you his heart for you, and that's the end of that on that.
I just really want to say to y'all that if there's one thing you remember from this conversation, is that if you have the heart to receive God, God will meet you where you're at. Like, honestly, that's the lesson God is teaching me right now. Like, I'm trying to figure out 10,000 things at one time, and it's like, wait, like, just take it day by day. Like, if you have the heart to receive God's message, whether it's prayer, whether it's listening to music, whether it's you do, like, go on walks, however you connect with the Lord, if you have the heart to receive him, God will meet you there. He's not in hiding, as it says in Isaiah 45. He didn't ask the house of Israel to seek him in vain, you know. So if you have the right heart, God will meet you there. That's me. Done.
Yeah. I think that was a beautiful end. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We're back, and as you can tell, better than ever.
I know that's right.
And we're really excited for the upcoming topics. Thank you for all the people who sent in questions. As always, our anonymous Google form is always open. You can also leave your emails if you want us to reply directly to you. And as always, follow us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, if you still use that. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Love you lots.
Love you. Bye.